Brethren, it's great to be with you today. Welcome to the 2022 General Convention, where Jesus Christ, the Messiah, invites us to participate in an invisible miracle. Now, one of the most beautiful descriptions of the impact of the Messiah is found in 1 Timothy 3:16. And it says from the RVIC, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached among the nations, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." What a lovely description of our Messiah. Now, do you see yourself in this scripture? I think we are the ones that he preached to among the nations. We are the ones that believed on him in the world. Jesus is as important to us as bread in the pockets of the hungry, as sight in the eyes of the blind, as sound in the ears of the deaf, and as joy in the heart of the desperate. Is Jesus bread in your pockets? Has Jesus opened your eyes? Do your ears hear the word of Jesus? Does Jesus get the credit for your joy? I'm sure you can answer yes to these points just like me. But you know, sometimes we turn Jesus away by the limits of our own humanity. When we say, "Jesus can't help me with this problem." When we say, "We did this to ourselves and we can get out of it by ourselves too." Brethren, only when we break the limits of our humanity and reach out to God do we see that Jesus is already by our side. And that is the moment when Jesus becomes our everything. This is the invisible miracle, the invisible miracle of our faith. When we break the limits of our own humanity to see Jesus. And it can only happen if God is our everything. Now, my dear brethren, our faith brings us here because we planted our tree by the rivers of water. It reminds me of Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1, the Old Testament call to consecration. And this is what the scripture says in Isaiah 55, verse 1. It's an invitation. It's an invitation to have faith. God says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." My brethren, this is why you are here. We come together here to be refreshed by the word, to be inspired by each other, and to drink from the well of life. Drink deeply from this cool, refreshing water that you will receive at this convention. Enjoy the miracle of your faith. It brings you the peace of God. The invisible miracle of your faith is a miracle to be shared. Give someone else a drink too. You know, the miracle of your faith is invisible unless you share it. At this convention, your faith will be affirmed, it will be strengthened, and it will be fulfilled when you give the gift of faith. Welcome to the 2022 General Convention. Your fellowship here is the cathedral of your faith. It's a quiet place where your faith goes to work among the Lord's vineyard. Let us come in an attitude of worship, like Mary of Bethany. Build your faith with constant care. Nurture it, water it, make it a safe haven. It is this faith that connects us as a body and brings us together in communion. There are two scriptures that I really like that tell us about our faith as a gift. The first one is by the Apostle Paul, and it is in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. I love that. Your faith is a gift. Another scripture by King David in Psalm chapter 23, verse 6. It says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, I think the goodness and mercy of God following David, he had a vision for that. That was the goodness of God, his mercy, his loving kindness that pursued him. Is it pursuing us? Yes, it is. He also said he will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, how does David dwell in the house of the Lord? Well, it is by faith. It is that invisible miracle that lives within your heart, that lived within his heart, that the Apostle Paul told us was a gift from God. Now, he says one more thing. He says that he will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do we do that? Yes, that house is our consecration. That is the house of the Lord. Now, there are two disciples who dwelt in the house of the Lord through their faith that I would like to highlight today. One is Mary of Bethany, and two is Saul of Tarsus, the impossible, intractable enemy of the church. But by the gift of their faith, Mary of Bethany and Saul of Tarsus came to the point in their lives where they were able to cast aside the limits of their humanity and simply rest comfortably in the power of Jesus. They were able to see Jesus by their side, in the boat, in the storm. Mary of Bethany and Saul of Tarsus, they let themselves be the hungry that were fed by Jesus, the blind who were able to see Jesus, the deaf who heard Jesus' voice, and the desperate who learned to live in the joy of Jesus. Now, Mary of Bethany and Saul of Tarsus, by their example of their life, they showed us how to get to this level of relationship with Jesus, how to get to this living faith that is the foundation of the work in us of the graces of the Spirit. A lovely faith that develops and hones our Christian character, a fruit of the Spirit for others to enjoy. They showed us how faith became a living and active force in their life, and their faith activated their broken human spirit. And just like Mary of Bethany and Saul of Tarsus, our faith requires us to break the limits of our own humanity, to reach out, to see Jesus by our side, in the boat, in the storm, because Jesus is just beyond the reach of our humanity. Now let's take a look a little more closely at Mary of Bethany. We find the account in John chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And these verses say this: "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead." Wow, can you imagine Jesus coming to your house where he raised your brother from the dead? "There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment." Did you see Mary's faith at work there? Did you see that invisible miracle in her heart that was manifested to her brother and sister and to Jesus through her faith? When Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, anointed Jesus with a pound of spikenard, her lovely work showed us that she had no human limits to her faith in Jesus. She showed us that her worship was beyond human reason. She achieved a higher level that the other disciples just did not get. They just did not understand. Perhaps Mary of Bethany simply wanted to acknowledge her master, and perhaps she wanted to show her appreciation for raising her brother Lazarus from the dead. But in either case, Mary suspended her belief in the value of worldly things for this moment to bless Jesus. Brethren, this is our opportunity at the General Convention. We have the opportunity to bless Jesus. Now, I look back on Mary of Bethany's equation of that moment, and you know what the equation tells me? It says, well, 1 year's salary plus the opportunity to anoint the Son of God before he died, that's a good deal. And that's the opportunity that is before you over the next few days. Now, perhaps unknowingly, Mary of Bethany anointed Jesus for his burial. Maybe she didn't realize that he was going to be crucified, but Jesus accepted it as such. And by this sacrifice of Mary's devotion, she changed the course of her life, and she solidified the character and the consistency of her faith. My friends, this is the opportunity that is before you every day, not only during the General Convention, but every day. We have the opportunity to solidify the character and consistency of our faith. Why? How? By anointing Jesus, by reaching beyond the limits of our humanity, to see Jesus in the storm next to us in the boat. Now, Mary's faith was no longer an invisible miracle. It was out there for all of us to see. And to me, Mary's devotion was a frame. It was a moment in time that captured the value of the gospel in a moment. And I would like to suggest to you that there are going to be several moments where you can capture the value of the gospel and share it with others, like Mary of Bethany. And Mary's faith has been a sweet fragrance that has mothered the blessing of millions of interactions in fellowship and service throughout the gospel age. Now, Mary of Bethany became our spiritual mother in that moment, in that frame, in that instant, in that moment of time, as she encapsulated the gospel message, and she gives it to us through the ages. And as our spiritual mother, Mary teaches us that worship comes before work. She teaches us that if we think something is important, we should act on it. She teaches us to not let our doubts or fears stop us from acknowledging our master. Now, Mary of Bethany had an audience of one, and that was Jesus. And so do we. Mary tells us that when Jesus gives her the gift of life, she was sure to thank him with her devotion. And Mary teaches us that when the door is open to learn from the master teacher, don't deny the power of Jesus to transform your life. She teaches us to sit at his feet and worship him when he comes to our house. Mary became a spiritual mother to us by giving us the invisible miracle of her faith. Now let's take a look at the Apostle Paul. When the Apostle Paul was about 53 years old, he wrote this to the brethren in Galatia. We find this in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 25. This is what the Apostle Paul says. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And then he tells us something. Basically, we can do it. He says, you can do it, Todd. You can do this. In verse 25, he says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I think that was his vote of confidence in us. He told the brethren in Galatia that this type of faith was the result of a transformative power. He admonished them to live in the power of the Spirit and to walk in straight paths. Now, like Mary of Bethany, the Apostle Paul is a spiritual father to us too. He told us that this faith could move us. He told us that this faith could bring vitality to every good thing in us. He told us that this faith could rise up and minimize our fleshly will and give strength to our spirit. He told us that a faith like this could wash over us and clean us and guide us to wholeness. Now, 6 years later, when the Apostle Paul was 59 years old, he prays for the prayer. He prays for the faith of the Ephesians in two prayers. Now, we might only have the opportunity to cover one of these prayers today, but this prayer that we're going to share is basically the anatomy of the invisible miracle of our faith. You know, what does that invisible miracle look like? What is its anatomy? How can we look at it in bullet point format? Let us open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20, and let's take a look at the Apostle Paul's advice here to the Ephesians. It says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. I think this is the Apostle Paul's vote of approval to the Ephesians, but I think it's the bones of their faith. He was laying down the bones, the anatomy of their faith. And he used seven powerful phrases on our behalf in this prayer. So we can take a look at this prayer to the Ephesians and think that it is a prayer for us too, because it is. What are those seven things that the Apostle Paul uses as the anatomy of faith, that invisible miracle of faith? It's the spirit of wisdom. It's the revelation of the knowledge. It's the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. It's that we may know the hope of our calling, the glory of his inheritance, the greatness of his power, and the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Now, let's take a look at these points. Point number one, the spirit of wisdom. The Apostle Paul prayed that you would be given the spirit of wisdom. Now, this spirit of wisdom, it comes through trial. The Apostle Paul taught us this. It comes through great trial. It comes through struggle. The desire and the intent to apply the principles of righteousness. Wow, that spirit of wisdom comes through struggle. That's good news. That's the good news of the gospel. That's the good news of your consecration. And the Apostle Paul is showing this by the example of his life and his ministry. It is our struggle to be transformed by the graces of the Spirit. Now, I think as I look back in the Apostle Paul's experience at that time when he would participated in the stoning of Stephen, I think Stephen's example of his own great faith during his own stoning probably changed Saul. And I think that this moment where Stephen prayed for his enemies had a powerful effect on the heart of Saul of Tarsus. I think he lived with that. And I think that bothered him in his conscience until Jesus knocked him off his horse. Now, I think that Stephen's example in the life of Saul of Tarsus during that stoning was similar to the way Mary of Bethany, in her example, when she went beyond the limits of her humanity by her faith, I think Stephen showed us how to change somebody's life every day. This is what the scripture says in Acts chapter 7, verse 60. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice. This is talking of Stephen. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. That's how Saul of Tarsus was given the spirit of wisdom, by his reflection on his failures, by his struggle to overcome through his intentional work of transforming through the power of God. Now, the second phrase is the Apostle Paul's prayer is that God may give you the revelation and the knowledge of him. God sent Jesus to call and mentor Saul. Saul was educated in the best Hebrew schools, but now he received his education from Jesus. Let us consider that in our own life. No matter how educated we are in a worldly sense, we get our education from Jesus and from God. And let's concentrate on receiving this education from Jesus by answering the call to consecration that we see in Isaiah chapter 55, to buy this without price, just our time, through the invisible miracle of faith. That's all God wants. Now, I think that there's a pattern here for us who are in charge of our own children's education with the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. Just like Jesus did to Saul of Tarsus, I think we have a pattern here with our own children and our spiritual children. What did Jesus do with Saul of Tarsus? Well, I think we can break it down into three major topics. Number one, Jesus showed who he was before God. Number two, Jesus showed where he came from in his spiritual heritage. And number three, Jesus encouraged Saul of Tarsus to seek to follow God's gentle leadings. And I think this is the major idea of what Saul of Tarsus was communicating to us in this prayer to the Ephesians. The third point is that he said that their spiritual eyes might be opened. Now, the Apostle Paul knew this firsthand, and he learned that it took a long time to understand God, especially when he was allowed his life to be confused by so many doctrines of men. But Paul the Apostle, he understood God. He understood how he works. He understood God's patience, his mercy, his wisdom. He understood the efficiency of God's work. I think that bringing Paul toward him through the stoning of Stephen was pretty efficient. And I think that's one of the greatest stories that will ever be told. I think the Apostle Paul saw Jesus. There was a moment of clarity in his life on the road to Damascus and for the next 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 years. That made every fleshly value in his life worthless. Where have you been on that road? Are you to the point where every fleshly value in your life is worthless? That's really hard. It comes through struggle. It comes through struggle. It comes through the opportunity for victory and the power of God. Let us look for those moments of clarity in our life. In Acts chapter 9, it said, verses 18 through 21, it says, "And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized." Verse 20, "And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God." I think there's a metaphor there. It was much more than just his physical eyes that were opened. And it happened through great struggle, through great pain, through reaching beyond the limits of his humanity to do something that the world did not understand. The fifth point that he uses in his prayer to the Ephesians is that the riches of glory of his inheritance in the saints. And this is what the apostle told us by the lifetime achievement of his faith that lives in our hearts. We read this in Colossians 1, 24 through 27. He was talking about rejoicing in his sufferings. And he says, "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church." Verse 27, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Brethren, this is the invisible miracle of your faith. And this is what we get to participate in during this week of General Convention. We would be honored to participate in the afflictions of Christ. We would be honored to be part of the mystery that mankind has waited for throughout the ages. This is your opportunity. The sixth point that the Apostle Paul makes is the greatness of God's power on our behalf. Paul was a mentor. And what do mentors do? Well, we take a look and see how Paul has mentored us. We take a look and see how Paul has mentored Timothy. We can see how Paul has mentored his enemies. And what does he do? He reveals the latent power of God that has the potential to live in our heart. We see that he did this to Timothy when he remembered Timothy's mother and grandmother and persuaded Timothy that that faith lived in his heart too. My friends, some of us are here because of the faith of our parents, but all of us are here because of this faith of our spiritual parents. And I think there's a moment, an opportunity here. What would happen if Lois and Eunice, Timothy's mother and grandmother, were actually hypocrites? You know, hypocrisy is a game changer. When we see it in ourselves, when we see it in others, and the spirit of the faith that lives in us rejects hypocrisy because the invisible miracle of our faith was gifted to us without hypocrisy. And I think that's the point. Lois and Eunice were not hypocrites. And because of that, Paul the Apostle could use the faith of his physical parents to convince him that he had the faith in his heart too. This is a very important equation in the life of all of God's people. The invisible miracle of faith, yes, it lives in our heart. Yes, it lives in God's temple, but it's invisible until we share it. And that's the big message from the Apostle Paul and from Mary of Bethany. The last phrase in this scripture I'd like to share is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. This is a great encouragement to us because it tells us that this invisible miracle of our faith is given to us by the same miraculous channel that God used to raise Jesus Christ from the dead. I think the Apostle Paul was acutely aware of this fact several times in his life, and he was not afraid in several times in his life when he decided to wend his way back to Jerusalem after his third missionary journey. And there was one particular moment that I really enjoy. It's in Acts chapter 16. We might all be familiar with it. It says this, "And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, for we are all here.'" Wow. The Apostle Paul took a big bite out of the power, through his faith, out of the power that raised Christ from the dead. Paul decided to stay in prison instead of walking out in order to save the prison guard from punishment and to teach him in this moment and his extended family the truth and thereby transfer to them the gift of faith. Wow, what a powerful confidence the Apostle Paul had. And what did he communicate to us here? I think he told us that when we are in our deepest prisons, when we are locked behind strong doors in our prisons, when we see no way out, look for the power of God that raised Christ from the dead. When the Apostle Paul was 54 years old, he called himself the least of the apostles. He says this in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9, "For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." Do you see how he lived with that sin? Do you see how he tried to unwind that sin through his whole life? Do you have that similar problem? Think of it as a gift. It is the gift that drives your heart towards faith. Now, Paul labored in faith to show his repentance before God. He saw his faith as the engine for his transformation. He saw as his struggle with his sin as an accent to his faith. And he taught us that his faith was a gift that he would not use in vain. He taught us how to recast the disappointment of our own sin into something lovely and powerful. The Apostle Paul was digging out of a big pit of despair, along with all of the physical attacks of his enemies. Surely he was fighting insecurity, and he may have framed his Saul of Tarsus work in the category of the betrayal of Judas. And when he says he was the least of the apostles, you can't get worse than Judas. But this is where he was thinking. And I think in these prayers to the Ephesians and Galatians, the Apostle Paul gave us the stepping stones of our faith that would transform us. He inspired us to see real progress in our feeble efforts. He gave us confidence in the abiding love of Christ to cover all of our shortcomings. He told us about the anatomy of our faith. He told us about the building blocks of a faith that changes us. And he showed us how faith watched over him to give him strength. Now, I think there were several times in the Apostle Paul's life where he showed the example of Mary of Bethany on the brethren. Just think of these moments in the Apostle Paul's life and think about them as you reflect upon Mary's devotion with that pound of spikenard. Think of these things, the different ways that Paul did the Mary of Bethany on the brethren. How about Paul to Timothy, Paul to Titus, the delivery of the spiritual gifts to the church, Paul to Lydia and the jailer, Paul to the Jerusalem church, Paul to Romans, through his letter to the Romans, Paul to delivering Hebrews chapter 11, the faith of their spiritual fathers. And Paul teaches us that the example of his life, that the best spiritual families are built upon their circumstances. God works with us in our circumstances, and he gives us the opportunity to be developed. Brethren, don't let your faith remain invisible. Show your faith for all to see. in your work. Now, in conclusion, the invisible miracle of your faith is living. The invisible miracle of your faith is transformative. It is foundational. It is lasting and lovely. And it is beyond the limits of humanity. Humans, we can't perceive it with our fleshly mind. It's received spiritually. Enjoy the invisible miracle of your faith at this year's General Convention. It is not found in the flesh. It is a grace and a fruit of the Spirit. It is to be diligently sought after and nurtured, and it requires great sacrifice. It requires great struggle. It requires you to look back on all of the inspiration that you received from your physical mother and father, perhaps, but definitely from your spiritual mother and father. I can think of 5, probably 10 spiritual mothers and fathers that God sent to me in my life. And as I reflect back on their testimony of their faith, they did not let the miracle of faith remain invisible in their heart. They showed it to me. They worked hard to show it to me. They pulled me aside and they showed me their faith by encouraging me to live in the principles of righteousness, to be transformed by the power of the graces of the Spirit, and then let that fruit of the Spirit be available for all to enjoy in the sweet fellowship. And this is the opportunity for you at this convention. Now, by the example of our spiritual mothers and fathers, our faith will be a fragrance to our loved ones. And our invisible miracle of our faith will be a legacy for them. It'll be a memory for the ages. Our faith is a testimony of our overcoming. Our faith is the first light that others may see of the glory of our inheritance. I remember in 2010, when my mother's funeral, there was a man that came from work, and it was a surprise to me. I did not expect him to be there. And I didn't ask him why he came, but about a week later, he came up to me with a big smile on his face, and he says, "You know, Todd, I came to find something that I thought might be there." And I said, "Well, what was that?" And he says, "I wanted to know why you're so happy." And I said, "Well, did you find it?" He says, "I sure did." Brethren, our faith is the first light that others will see of the glory of our inheritance. Now, Mary of Bethany taught us this through her observation. She saw an opportunity to anoint Jesus by his burial. She looked at the opportunity. She measured the equation. And she says, "Yeah, it's a great deal. I'm going to do this." Saul of Tarsus taught us this through his ministry. Saul of Tarsus reflected on where he was, where he was going, and he reaches back to us. He grabs us by the collar and he prays for us. And he says, I want you to know the power of God. I want you to know the power of God in your spiritual mind. This is the same power that has raised Jesus from the dead." And Mary of Bethany and Paul the Apostle, they lived rich spiritual lives according to the measure of their faith. And by their example, they showed us how to be made whole according to the measure of their faith. Now, there's a moment in Luke chapter 8 where the storm was raging. The disciples were in the boat. Jesus was in the boat. And it's in Luke 8, 24 through 25. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and he rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased and there was calm. Do you see Jesus doing that in your life? Have you awoken Jesus? Verse 25, and he said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to the other, "What manner of this is this? What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the waters to obey him." And with this miracle, Jesus adopts us into his family. Jesus teaches us that the storms of our life are to develop our faith. So what storms have come into your life in order to develop your faith? Embrace them. Embrace those storms and find Jesus sitting beside you in the boat. Brethren, is Jesus bread in your pockets? Has Jesus opened your eyes? Do your ears hear the voice of Jesus? Does Jesus get credit for your joy? Here's a personal mission statement that we'd like to close with. Think of this. Think of adopting this as your personal mission statement so that that invisible miracle of faith might shine for all to see. My purpose is to enrich the lives of my family and spiritual family through the invisible miracle of my faith. I will be successful in my mission if I do the inner work of transformation with the graces of the Spirit, and if I use my words and my work to share the inspiration of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. We can do this together, my brothers and sisters. We can do it. God bless you. Amen.